Welcome back to Binary Jazz. It is a show where Allison gives us a topic. Gary and I try to talk about the topic without knowing it beforehand. Hijinks ensue. I am Chris, Jazz Sequence on the Internet. That is Gary, Binary Gary on the Internet. This is Allison, Allison Plus on the Internet. And we're back from a brief hiatus. And hello.
Why, hello there.
The topic today is hiatus.
The root of hiatus is hiate, which means to rest. No, I have no idea.
I'm like, wow, I believe that.
Yeah, that did sound awfully legit.
From the Greek root, hiat? No, I don't know.
So how y'all been?
Yeah. It's a good question.
I did like that Gary and I had the same, like, we're starting the podcast dance.
That, of course, anyone listening to the podcast would not see.
Yeah.
It's the only dance in my repertoire, so I'm glad we match up there.
It's good choreography. It's good basic, back to basic choreography.
Yeah. It's like the white dude running man dance, right? Like, just move your arms back and forth. That's about it.
Find the beat, if you can.
And if not, smile like you're having a good time.
Yeah. The smile makes it.
Truth.
My hiatus was lovely. I don't know. Is it a hiatus? I don't know.
Well, sort of a hiatus. It's been a couple of weeks for us. It's been 1 week for the show. It's a hiatus. It's a break.
How does that work? Did we invent time travel?
We did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
I've wanted to ever since I watched Sliders, which is not quite time travel, but close enough.
For lunch.
Sliders. I time travel? You can just have lunch whenever you want because you're a grown up.
I'm going to, as soon as we're done filming this. Filming this? Are you running film over there, Chris?
Yes.
as soon as we're done filming this, I'm going to bust out some leftover tacos.
Understand that concept, leftover tacos.
So I went to Disneyland and then Universal Studios and to the beach and hit Vegas on the way out and on the way back and saw the Beatles Love Cirque du Soleil show on Tuesday night.
Ooh, how was that?
Oh,
it was pretty freaking amazing. Yeah. I was really impressed. I usually like Cirque du Soleil does like electronic quasi new agey kind of music like to their stuff, and it's always really good and it goes with their stuff. So I was really wondering how like contemporary like Beatles would like go with that sort of thing. No, it was awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've seen Love twice. Yeah, amazing show.
Yeah, we realized afterwards that you kind of have to see it more than once to be able to catch all the things. Because there's just so much going on and so much of it.
There are several like licks of music that I hear now, like Beatles music, obviously, and like immediately in my head, I'm right back there. It's impressive. Yeah.
Never actually seen a
new show sponsor.
New show sponsor. Sponsor Allison to go see a Cirque du Soleil show.
Yeah. Never seen. you should see one.
I feel like it's my jam, but
it would be your jam.
And how was Disneyland?
It was Disneyland. I got to do, so we went last year with my dad, and this year we went with my dad and my mom, because she didn't get a chance to go last year. So we did a lot of the stuff that we didn't get a chance to do last year, and we did some of the things that we did do last year that we really liked, and that was cool. We tried to get as much done in one day as possible because me and Aaron, the kids, really wanted to go to Universal to go to Harry Potter Wizarding World. That was like our priority. And so we didn't do like the 2 days at Disneyland, because 2 days at Disneyland and then Harry Potter would be ridiculous and also expensive. So we did
ridiculously expensive
and ridiculously expensive. And instead we spent a crap ton of money at Universal.
But I feel like that involves like wands, butterbeer, like you gotta go down that.
Yep. Yep.
Gauntlet of fun times. Otherwise why?
Yeah. No, it was all of those things. Yeah. We did not get the robes and we did not get like full scarves from all the houses like we thought we might. Mostly because, because we do want house scarves. We have a scarf wall now upstairs for our soccer scarves, and wanted to put Harry Potter scarves on there too. But we realized that their scarves they're selling are like $40 or something. And you could get Harry Potter scarves that are different but still good for like $20-25 on Amazon. So we'll get them, just not the Universal Studios. But we did get a Quidditch board game, which is only available at Universal. And we played it, and it plays a lot like sort of like a cross between chess and Stratego, I guess. Yeah.
Jerry and I are like, huh, okay.
It's really
I know one of those words.
it's only two players, so it's a little bit that part's disappointing because we can't all play at once. But you move like little tokens across the board that represent different Quidditch players. And there's a quaffle piece, and you can knock the person carrying the quaffle off the board and take the quaffle. And then there's cards that give you additional plays. And the chasers are really fast, so they're really hard to catch. But they can only move diagonally. And the beaters can only move two spaces at a time, but they move like straight lines. So it's you're always going to get outmaneuvered, but you can kind of try to position yourself to block the chasers. And yeah, it's really interesting. There's a lot of like planning and strategy involved, which is kind of cool. And it actually, I was surprised how much like the actual game of Quidditch it kind of plays, in terms of like scoring and in terms of how like your tactics would work and how the chasers are basically unbeatable. And how like, and the snitch is involved too. This obviously the snitch appears and the seekers catch the snitch and then the game is over, but the snitch almost never appears. And when the snitch does appear, you have like a very slim chance of actually catching it. And that plays into the game too. So it's actually really, surprisingly legit as far as like accuracy, minus the flying portion.
Obviously. That's the part I don't care about the rest of it. I just want to fly.
But now, is this too personal of a question, but like what scarves would all your family, like who,
everyone went die hard Ravenclaw.
Really?
Like hardcore. Like I thought at least my son would go in with Gryffindor. Yeah. But I got my Harry Potter Quidditch jersey. So I'm repping Gryffindor, but everyone else went hardcore Ravenclaw. Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with I think the fact that, well, the wisdom thing obviously was because that's their sort of house sentiment, I guess, but also the fact that Luna is from Ravenclaw, and she's a popular Ravenclaw.
I hear that
alum in this house.
Yeah, I can see that. You just can't argue with Luna.
Yeah, literally, because if you do, she'll just like say some wacky thing, and you'll be like completely speechless.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh yeah, good point.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Put her away.
So yeah, that was my hiatus.
And wait, Star Wars Land isn't open yet.
No.
Is it? No. That's like,
no, they were, people were talking about it and looked like they were building stuff, but no, it's not.
Because is that they're shutting down Toontown? Is that, I love that, like,
that's,
these are the things I know.
That's what I've heard. We didn't go to Toontown last year, and we didn't go to Toontown this year, and I have no, like, I don't care at all about Toontown. I cared about Toontown when Roger Rabbit was a thing, and that's a very long time ago. They also shut down a Bug's Life World in California Adventure Park, and I think that they're building, like, an Avengers land there. Oh. There are, like, Stark Industries signs on the wall that they put up to block you from seeing what they're doing.
Or like, don't look behind the curtain.
Right, exactly.
I love that I have just enough weird Disneyland news. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a thing that's happening. I'm like, why do I know these? I know why I know these things, but still. Wow, you guys just drank in unison. That's gonna be amazing.
For the listeners of the show.
Are you, Allison, are you in the center on your screen up top?
No, I'm in the upper, like a triangle.
Yeah, so and that's...
Oh.
Right.
I have a different view. I have like a little like film strip up top and then whoever's talking in the bottom. But I was hoping if we were on either side, not only did we drink in unison, but we did it in stereo.
Well, it will be in... Because the way it records, Gary and I are on top and Alice is on the bottom. And it always ends up that way. No matter who joins first, I think, which is interesting. But anyway.
It's clearly alphabetical.
Yes. So it'll be stereo for the viewers who subscribe to our channel on YouTube, our channel that doesn't have a name because we don't have enough subscribers. Hint.
Shaking my
head. Okay, I'll subscribe. Goodness sakes. I've been meaning to get around to it, okay? Let me set a reminder in Slack for myself.
These are the things that excellent writers have made
up. Subscribe and then immediately. Say that you do not want any email notifications, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, it will remind me on Monday if I don't do it before then. Oh, it'll remind me anyway.
Well, we can remind you. You don't even need to.
We can totally.
We'll be your reminders. New technology. Gary,
have you subscribed yet?
No, I'm in the middle of a podcast. I'll get to it after this.
You're in the middle of a podcast, but yet you can get juice.
I might get some more in a second. It's good. It's cold here today, y'all.
How cold is it? A balmy 75, Gary. Yeah.
You're still wearing a t-shirt and I'm guessing shorts.
That's why I felt from the chest up. Yeah, definitely shorts. I went outside without shoes on, as I always do. I think the concrete was chilly. It's like it was below 70 last night. So I'm bidding adieu to summer, sadly.
We left sunny California where it was mid to high 70s and got to Las Vegas where it was like low 80s and got to Utah where it's like 50.
That's
I told you about my
in Celsius 10.
Yeah. Mm. That's the only crossover point I know. Like 50-10. We're at like 10 now as well, and it's gonna go down further for the rest of the week. But yesterday and the day before it was like, I don't know.
Have I told you about my trade show trip to Las Vegas and Reno in late October years ago?
Probably not.
This is silly. This is just like how Gary works. Like going to Vegas, end of October. Look at the weather. It's like 80. It's awesome. So I did this trade show in Vegas. I had to fly directly from that one to Reno. Fly to Reno, I get off. It is freezing. Literally, 32 degrees. And I'm wearing like a polo shirt and khaki pants. OMG. Didn't realize that Reno, higher elevation, further north, would be a different temperature than Las Vegas. And it was freaking cold for 3 days.
That's a very different climate.
I look like an idiot. I mean, everybody's walking in and taking off their jackets and stuff, and I bought a flimsy jacket at Walmart, that's all I could find, and shivering everywhere.
Shivering. Oh.
I've done that a couple times traveling, where I my first destination is the south, and then I go north. I don't plan for the northern leg of the trip.
Hmm.
Did that, yeah.
We're actually thinking about the holidays and debating whether we want to drive to California to see my parents or to drive to Lakewood, Washington to see Aaron's family. Probably we're going to go up to Washington. But the real, like, the difference is the Blue Mountains in Oregon versus Donner Pass in Nevada, California. Both of them are pretty horrible. I think that Donner Pass beats Blue Mountains, but Oregon is really bad with snow. Like, they don't understand snow and how it works and how you deal with it. Because typically, in states that experience snow, you put the salt on the snow to melt the snow while it, like, even if it is snowing, you do that and you shovel the snow while it is snowing to get it off the road. This is a thing that states that understand how snow works do. Oregon says, nah, fuck it. And when they wait until it stops snowing to do anything at all about it. So by that point, the snow has now packed into a solid level of ice. Meanwhile, you're driving on ice for, I don't know how long, quite long in some cases. And maybe you don't know this, but ice does not have a lot of traction. And you kind of go all up and down the mountain, which is fun.
Before we recorded the first episode of the show, I did my first like long distance trip in snow. I caught a freak snowstorm on the way up to Georgia, and I was like laying in bed, and every time like the bed shook, Rhonda moved, I thought I was sliding off the road again. It was, yeah.
Driving in those conditions is so unnerving, especially when you know that no one's dealt with the road conditions on your path.
What idiot drives in this weather?
I got a ticket in Oregon, not for driving too fast or driving recklessly, but for driving too slow. Because it was snowing, and we were in the fast lane, because that was the one that had, like, you know, the tire marks, so you could kind of get a little bit more traction. So we were driving there, but I didn't have our tires were not very good, and I didn't have chains, so we were driving slow so we wouldn't slide off the road, and I didn't want to go over because then we definitely slide. I got a ticket for going too slow.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What? And I would just take the and be like, yeah, I'm being safe. Like, screw you. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to die.
What officer in that weather was like, yeah, I'm pulling people over. Come on.
It's like very totally like a quota situation at that point.
I mean, he said it was essentially like blocking traffic because I was going slower than what other people could be going. But
yeah, but like, I get it, but also people can go around you really if they're that much more confident.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want people going around us or in the snow lane, I don't want to drive in the snow lane either.
Yeah, you just want to get to your destination safely. So, like, clear the other lane, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So here's the
solution to this problem is plow your damn roads, Oregon.
Yeah, come on.
Would time travel be more valuable to you, or would, like, the ability to, like, materialize anywhere you need to be more useful?
All I want is an app that will tell me what the road conditions are across my journey that is time delayed so that if the conditions change, it tells me in advance so that I know when I'm driving into a snowstorm. That's all I want.
It seems to me that the Google Maps app ought to be able to do that. They tell me all the damn time, like, oh, I found a better route.
Yeah, I had a friend, one of my coworkers, try to like do a thing in React, and it's basically like cross Google Maps with Dark Sky, forecast.io, and use their API to get the weather forecast and do that along the points of a Google Map route.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was sort of a prototype, and it wasn't like fully fleshed out. But I saw the prototype and was like, yeah, that is the thing that I want.
That is the knowledge I want to have.
Yes.
To answer your original question, Gary, I would want to be able to just transport myself rather than lose time. Potentially, I don't want to skip time. Although I think I do a lot, but I don't think I actually do.
Time travel goes both ways. Like, how cool would it be able to go back in time?
Well, for some people it'd be more desirable. I feel like I'm losing enough rights in my own time. I don't need to go back.
I mean, I don't even know that I would go back to to spend a lot of time in certain times, right? I mean,
would you want to interact with yourself? Like, would you?
No, absolutely not. No.
No.
I want to go back. I want to watch the Apollo 11 launch, right? I want to go back and I want to see.
It's all space-based again.
It is, totally is. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go much. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So you don't want to go back hundreds and hundreds of years or thousands of years. You just want to go back to see some like peak historical moments and like be a part of the like the actual experience.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, exactly. Exactly. I say I wouldn't want to interact with myself, but I would probably want to relive certain moments in my life. So I guess that would be a problem, wouldn't it?
That's a difficult proposition. But wait, why? So you said Apollo 11?
Yeah.
Why Apollo 11 in particular?
Because that's the one that they landed on the moon.
Well, I know that, Gary, but like, there's a lot of, like, other than the fact that it's...
The first. Not even the first. I mean, the first moon landing.
It's the landing.
Yeah.
We're done now. We don't need to go back. But like, why that and not any other?
Like the first rocket launch or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that was just the first out of the air. I would want to watch the first landing of the space shuttle, right? Yeah. In the dry lake bed, like was it the Enterprise? I don't know. I'd like to watch. I mean, there's a lot of
The USS Enterprise.
Yeah, I was like, really?
No, Google it with the space. I think the first mock-up was the Enterprise. I think the one that they landed. That was flyable without rocket engines was called, Dang. I'll have to remember it since the show's over.
Really, I wouldn't have thought that they would have named it something like Dang.
Dang.
Yeah, Dang. The USS Dang. Did you all see the Soyuz news yesterday?
No,
I read about
Soyuz
it.
Launch.
Watch any of it?
I've had like the NASA channel on live since the launch yesterday. Since I got up. I mean, it's super exciting that two humans almost made it to space and didn't die. Like, pretty fantastic.
I was very impressed. I'm always very impressed by how calm the vocal overlay is, where they're like, well, we're going to have to cancel this. Seems like something exploded. Like, two of the astronauts are unknown whereabouts, but... we're going to track it down, get back to you on that. Like, the tone is just so, like, and meanwhile, I know that, like, in the actual control room, like, stuff is happening, but the voice that they had overlaid was just like, I'm sure it'll all sort itself out. It's just very, like, morning.
I can't be a conventional astronaut, right? Like, I freaked out last night over some versioning issues and a composer thing and PHP. I'm, like, in a total panic. Like, it's going to load the wrong JavaScript library. Yeah, I mean, it's not like there's nobody's lives at risk here. Lives are at risk. He's frozen. He's not doing anything. He's broken.
Just out of stance.
I don't want to derail this conversation. But typically in this show, we have a topic.
We have a topic.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, it's like the least of a topic.
Now that we're so far in, do we want to like skip the topic?
No, people
do it justice.
We're gonna do a topic.
No, the topic is nanopution.
Nanopution.
Nanopution means little putions.
Well, obviously, nanopution comes from the fictional land of Lilliputia and Lilliputians, which are very small people. So nanoputions are small people, but they're very, 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 they're nano sized.
It's putions all the way down.
People.
Wait, have you both actually read that book?
No. I know about that book. The reason I know about that the Lilliputians is from the Flash game I used to play when I worked in a call center. Which had a section of the world that you could explore and fight monsters and stuff that was in the land of Lilliputians or something. I figured it was a reference, and then later I learned that it was a reference to some fictional thing, but no, I have not actually read about Lilliputians. But that's what nanopution.
Go ahead.
What's the gig on those Laputians? They're like a supporting role in a book about something else, right?
Had to read Gulliver's Travels for school at some point.
Gulliver, that's the guy.
Gulliver, that's our main man.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking of.
I don't remember whether it was high school or university, but it might be worth a reread, but probably not.
Worth a read? I mean, so a lot of those books that you have to read in school are like, I mean, I get the historical significance, but the book,
Yeah, I've got enough on my to-read list as it is that I don't think I need to probably revisit it. But just my preference.
Can you spell Nanoputian?
Yeah, Nanoputian.
It's totally very small people.
Can you spell Lilliputian?
Lilliputian.
Is it Putian?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. You're like, otherwise it would not be related to Nanoputian, and clearly it is.
It's clearly related to Nanoputian. So okay, Lilliputians are already small, and they're people. So Nanoputians are micro, like, nanoscopic organisms.
The thing is, you're not wrong.
Is it a story, though, that has, recursion in the story? Like, they're reading a story about themselves? Like, it is. It's a recursive story.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yep. Gulliver's Travels?
Yes. Yes. Right. I don't know that to be true.
I'm going to go along with this.
I say it confidently, though. Right?
That's what this show is all about. Confidence.
Oh, man. God.
Just entering in. Get in there. Get in there with those ideas about Lilliputians and Nanoputians.
So...
I would like to visit the land of Nanoputia, where the Nanoputians come from.
Where they are.
Where they are currently, right now, today. Because I'm sure that their civilization is very interesting.
I think so. I think we're there now, maybe? We could be. Could be a thing. I'm not sure.
I have to look at
the This was one of those topics that...
Watch out, Gary, there's a giant finger.
Yeah, I know. It's very Monty Python.
I'm clutching your head. Yeah. Who's that? That's,
Kids in the Hall?
That's the one. Gosh, I used to watch so much Kids in the Hall in college.
I was going to say every child under 12.
Yeah, and also every child under 12.
Yeah.
Oh, I went down a really good Kids in the Hall rabbit hole the other day on YouTube. It was very pleasant. But then it then converged with my partner's childhood Canadian TV show rabbit hole, which was very bizarre.
The show's not called Rabbit Hole, is it?
No. There's just so many weird, and I have the same weird childhood TV shows, but the Canadian versions were very, very... There was a lot of very low budget. There was there was a skit show called something like Kayak Head, or I don't know. Basically, something
That's
happened.
Very Canadian.
There's nothing more Canadian than this. Basically, they're portaging with a kayak, and he gets struck by lightning, and then his head gets fused with the kayak. Was my understanding, and then he fights crime. So yeah, there was a lot
attached to his head.
Yeah,
what choice do you have at that point? A lot. For being honest about things.
Fighting.
Wow.
How do you put on your costume if you have a kayak attached to your head?
The commitment.
I mean, I guess you have to put a zipper down the back of all of your shirts.
Maybe, but no, only wear buttons. He became seemed like the kayak itself was kind of the thing at that point. He didn't need an outfit because the
kayak was the outfit.
The kayak is always there.
If you have a kayak,
I guess if you live in Canada,
decent exposure.
I guess if you live in Canada, you're always wearing flannel shirts anyway. So those are typically button up.
just the entity of it all. Yeah.
What? We're down to 10 minutes already.
And you have no idea what the topic is. We just...
It's a microscopic, nanoscopic people.
No, actually, yeah, so...
Harry doesn't even have a comment about the nanoscopic people. He's just completely dumb.
No, I totally agree. It's tiny people. I mean, it's little
mutations. You're not incorrect, though. That's the great part about it.
That's the sad part.
No, the disappointment shouldn't read on my face or in my voice. But yeah, nanocutions, they're organic molecules whose, like, when you look at the structural formula, they look like people. That's what nanocutions
are. Oh.
So, like, when you, like, look at, like, so if you were to look and break down, like, serotonin, and it's that little, like, weird pattern for our visual listeners, I'm, like, drawing things with my fingers. But
a serotonin-shaped pattern, yeah.
Well, yeah, it looks like, it's a visual thing, but, like, anyway, these ones look like people, so there's, like, the head and the arms and the whatnot.
And the whatnot.
The legs.
Are we talking about the whatnot now on this show? Are we getting our R rating to talk about whatnots?
All the whatnots. The benzene rings, the carbon atoms. Pure excitement.
I'm getting sexy.
Nothing sexier than nanocutions. No.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I'm a little disappointed that it's not actually tiny people.
Well, they...
I am a little relieved that it's not tiny people.
It's used for educational purposes. And they kind of look adorable. Or evil, depending on, like, how you color code.
What kind of face you draw on them.
Yeah, it is a portmanteau as well between nanometer and Lilliputian from Gulliver's Travels, so... You're not.
That makes it cute.
And who doesn't love a good portmanteau?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, for once, I don't know if it's the only time, but one of the few times on this show where we have broken down the word and discovered the actual meaning of the topic by breaking down the word. What Allison was betting on was the fact that neither of us knew anything about Gulliver's Travels or Lilliputians.
It's true.
Which was a safe
guess. Which is accurate, actually, because none of us actually read it.
Yeah.
It's just some roundabout way that I actually knew what a Lilliputian was.
If I didn't make some assumptions, then this show would not work out very well.
So we don't have listener questions. Please, listeners, send us questions. And I think that since we've taken a break from it a couple of times, we should do some actual questions anyway. So we have a backstock of Allison questions. So we're going to hit those, I think, in the remaining 6.5 minutes. There's a new one. I didn't even notice. Maybe it's not new. It's from September, but I don't think I saw it. We're going to go with one that's on top, which is Allison asks. Allison, that Allison right there. Asks, if you had an extra $100 to spend on yourself every week, what would you do? I think what I would do...
And legitimately spend on yourself, not like self-care or something, not like, don't be all charitable, and that's a different question.
Okay. I think $100, I would, like one night a week, go to a fairly decent restaurant of some variety with the fam. Like, we do that kind of anyway, like once a month, but I would just make it a weekly thing, and then the rest of the week be like fasting, basically.
You're like, no,
that's exactly where I was headed with it too. Same thought, you know, like some kind of entertainment with the family.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there a particular food or meal or place that you already have, like, you would be like, oh, that restaurant we would go to more often, or you would mix it up?
No, variety is the spice of life.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Be different every time.
Yeah, and
the thing about
doing it, having that every week to do, would mean that we'd be able to like what we do now is we rotate, each person picks a place and we rotate between the four of us. So every month it's somebody else is picking that restaurant for that month. So if we did it every week, then we could rotate, go through the rotation quicker. And that way we could like explore new places that we haven't tried more frequently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Is there ever any fear that you'll regret the choice? And is there any ever like guilt about being like, oh, we tried this new thing and it did not pan out?
Nah, it's part of the experience in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean,
we won't come back, but I mean, we share some laughs together and I mean, the food's never like inedible, but maybe certain courses are,
yeah.
You know,
it just, it's fine, but it wouldn't be a repeat visit. Yeah.
As a gluten-free vegan, our choices are already limited. And if we do accidentally hit something that is crappy, then it is kind of disappointing or has fewer options. And that's disappointing. We typically don't, like, I mean, typically what we like, what Aaron and I will do is pick, you know, the vegan places that we've heard about or that we know or whatever. And the kids pick the places that they know, that they remember. And so we don't usually hit that, but if we did hit that, then yeah, it's a little disappointing. We've been disappointed by going out to restaurants before, particularly in other places where we're like read reviews or whatever. And it was like, this is the best vegan place in Nashville, for instance, and we went there and it was like, this is kind of not so great. And the kids didn't like it. And that's usually the thing is like, if the kids give it a hard no, then it kind of like, well, they're going to be hungry tonight. And that's, sorry.
And that's a bummer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, too, in your case, like there's greater risk, you know, yeah. I mean, like if you eat gluten, you know, you're going to have issues, right? Mm-hmm. You eat food that's, they claim is vegan and it's not, you know, if it's the first time you've eaten meat or something made with meat in years, you're going to have problems. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, so the risk for you is much greater than it is for me. I mean, I go somewhere and it's crappy. It's just crappy.
It's just plain old crappy, which is still not enjoyable.
Oh man, I had this, went to this German place years ago and I had some sausage that made me ill, like,
ew.
Lay on the bathroom floor
entire
weekend. Like, I might die here. Who's in that sausage?
That's not just like a mediocre experience of a no repeat. That's a, maybe we should file with the health board sort of situation.
That place, I've actually been back there since then. They I'll explain to you why. So they moved from the location they were in, and they brought in a new chef, and the chef they brought in, I happen to know from his mother stuff. So talking with him, he's like, they were just lazy, you know? He's like, I asked this guy to clean, he said, no, I fired him. He's like, so after I fired like five people, they knew I was serious about cleaning constantly. Well, that explains why I got sick, right? But he's a great chef, and the place is...
I don't ever want to frequent a place that they were just like, we were kind of just like, on cleaning.
Well, he's the new chef and clean house on the old staff.
I just, yeah, there's a certain amount of illness that even if someone, they bring in new people, it's still not good enough. Like, I'm just sorry. Sometimes bridges are burned and you leave those places.
Not a survivor.
You're just like, I want my German food experience.
As you imagine in Jackson, there's no options for German food.
That's, and maybe there's a reason. Maybe they need to run a tighter cleanliness ship. Like, and
I would 100% recommend the place now. I think it's fantastic at this
point. Wow.
You know, where it was previously. I mean, I took a good 5 or 6 years off when I got sick.
Like, well, yeah, because that's horrible.
So that's all I'm going to for almost killing me, 5 or 6 years. Just in case you need reference.
I can picture that Yelp review roller coaster ride.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.